Bibles. I want this again to be some interaction between us tonight. And I want us to just go back through the book of Acts, almost like just a review and say, okay, here's what we learned from this text. And specifically, what does that tell us about our ministry? In other words, what should we do as a result of what we learn in this chapter? Now, obviously, it took us a year and a half or so to get through the book of Acts, so we're not going to cover every detail. But as you think about a chapter, what would be the central thing about that chapter? And some of them are difficult. As I worked through this, just writing down some thoughts, I thought, man, I could probably divide that chapter up in threes, you know, like in thirds, and say this one, you know, whatever. But just kind of centralize that. And then not only are we going to talk about the statement, but then we'll kind of talk about, okay, how does that impact how we do ministry in the world today, okay, and specifically here in Kings Mountain. So anybody that wants to jump in can, and we don't always, doesn't have to be the exact same thing. But just as an example, I'll give you chapter one, though some of you are probably thinking, really, chapter one's the easiest one we can do, right? Yeah. But I wrote down for chapter one, wait for power, then witness. Wait for power and then witness, which is really what Jesus says, right? He says, okay, wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then you're going to be witnesses unto me. And then if that's true, we should wait for power and then we witness. How does that impact our everyday ministry here? What would be a truth about the impact of that? Brother Jim?
Well, if you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you and be with you, I mean, as far as taking you on,
okay,
so to speak, then, and I'm speaking from myself, because many times over the years, I have done it in the flesh.
Right. Okay, so, so in other words, even today, we still need Holy Spirit power to witness like we're supposed to. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, good. Brother Dale? Mm-hmm. Okay, great, Dale. So these people did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit yet. He was going to fall on them for the very first time as far as a permanent indwelling. We have the impermanent dwelling Holy Spirit if we know Christ as our Savior, but so many times we're not heeding what He tells us to do, and we're not in the power of the Spirit to be able to do that. So, yeah, Brother Steve? Okay. Yes, it is the power of God inside. So we need to be daily in the Word. By the way, what did these people, the 120 that were in the upper room, if you find as you work through this passage, they were praying. They were seeking God because they wanted this to come. And by the way, we know the timetable. They had no idea the timetable from when Jesus rose to heaven to when this was going to take place. So, yeah, and we definitely need that power today as well. Brother West?
I think too, I think today it's easy to maybe plan a special service, maybe revival services, things like that, and we work toward that, but that's a day to week there. Whereas I think here we're seeing that they had to just seek the Lord and be ready, and then when He set His time,
okay,
they were ready to respond.
Yeah, so we set dates and so forth and so on with scheduling and things, but this was a date that God set in here. And I think it's important for us to recognize that just because there's a date on the calendar doesn't mean that God's going to move in a particular way. We still need to seek Him and try to have His mind about, okay, Lord, what do You want us to do? Do You want us to have these meetings, or do You want us to do this? One of the things I tell my students is, don't put something on a calendar just because your church has always done it. Because, okay, why are we doing that? You know, and is the reason we're doing it, is it effective? Those of you that have been here a while, remember we tried to do as an outreach in the city a July 4th type of service at the gazebo. That was a lot of work, and almost no one came. I mean, maybe 5 people over the 3 years that we did it. The parade outreach, however, we reached about 4,000 people or so in a given period of time. So that was one of those things where it's like, well, maybe we can do what God wants us to do in a more effective way. So that's an impact of our ministry for sure. Christina? Yeah. Yeah, so being ready for God to work, being free from sin and so forth. Because, I mean, all of a sudden it came and Peter preached. I mean, it was boom, this happened. And it's kind of interesting when you read this text of Scripture. The day that the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost, became an incredible day, but it also became an incredible work day. I mean, this turned into a massive opportunity, if you will, for them as they work through that. Okay, chapter 2, and I won't talk first here. Chapter 2, what's a central thought about chapter 2? I know. Yes, I understand that. So, one of the things that jumped out at me from this chapter, and then we see it over and over and over again in the book of Acts, and that is the Holy Spirit makes weak people bold. And it's interesting, later on the disciples pray not for persecution to go away, but that they would be bold in the face of persecution. And how many days earlier Peter couldn't even tell a little handmaid that he was one of Christ's disciples? I mean, it's been less than 2 months. And what a difference is made now as Peter stands there. Dale?
In verse 41, we see the model of how we baptize.
Yeah, great. Okay, so by the end of the chapter, we start getting the model of what a New Testament church should do, okay? The fact that we baptize and they continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and those kind of things. You know, it's not just a Baptist doctrine that we're supposed to eat together. It's actually a New Testament doctrine, amen, right? We get together. That's what the early church did in a lot of those things. And, of course, there's both aspects, both the Lord's Supper and the idea of fellowship from an eating standpoint as well. So, Julian? Good. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Peter gets the recognition, if you will, for the day of Pentecost. But yeah, the 120 were definitely a part of what God was doing there and the unity that was there and so forth. Just amazing. And you got to figure that those 120 were moving through that crowd as people began to stir and ask questions and all of that. These people were very much a part of that. A number of my pastor friends, you know, on Facebook will say, you know, we had 2 families join the church today. We're so excited, you know, whatever. And I'm like, can you imagine the Facebook post of the disciples after this, right? Like, you know, 3,000 people joined the church today. You know, my arm's tired from baptizing or whatever. But it was quite a day, wasn't it? And all those people involved with it. Excellent. Okay, excellent. Brother Jim?
One of the things I see that's really neat to me is it's an affirmation of Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall come, call upon the name of the Lord.
Okay.
I mean, all of these different language group people.
Right.
I mean, they just go on and on. And
Right.
And they all, they none of them speak the same language.
Correct, right.
And we could hear everybody, and that was only
yep.
the Holy Ghost.
God was, yep, doing a work.
I just thought it was Romans 10:13.
Yeah, amen. Yep, wonderful. Good. Brother West? Yes.
In that whole message. And kind of going back to Steve's point from the last chapter, you know, just being the Word and having that Word in your heart, because I think, you know, the Lord just used all that he had hidden in his heart and just brought it out.
Yeah, and it's interesting that from a, if you want to use this term, from a just a normal cultural aspect, Peter was just a dumb fisherman. I mean, like, he was not considered an educated man by any stretch of the imagination. Of course, he had been 3 years with Jesus, which certainly helps, right? But I just love how this... And by the way, I don't think all that Peter preaches in this message, he learned from Jesus in 3 years. I think when you look at Jewish homes in those days, they were packing their kids with Scripture, by the way. And now the Holy Spirit illuminates those Scripture to say, oh, by the way, this is who it's talking about. It's been talking about Jesus all along. You just missed that. All. Yeah, so that's excellent. Pastor?
I think, too, building on what Wes said, it should give us a greater appreciation for the Old Testament. Because that's what Peter was preaching.
Yes.
And clearly showing that that's all about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so a greater appreciation for the Old Testament. And what's interesting today, it always makes me nervous when guys kind of exalt the New Testament over the Old Testament. And the fact is, there is tons in the New Testament we don't understand without looking at the Old Testament. And the Old Testament does what, as Pastor just said, it points people to the cross and what Jesus did constantly through that process. So yeah, these men preached the Word of God on a day. And by the way, they didn't have a copy of it in front of them. You know, it had to be in their hearts, which is, man, pretty amazing. Amy?
It also is encouraging that we don't give up or quit when things get hard or when we've done, maybe sinned against the Lord. Peter, most would say we never sin that badly, although all sin is bad, and yet God uses it to a great extent. And if he would have just walked away, we never would have had.
Yeah. Yeah, so God can use people who have failed him. And again, we're looking at less than 2 months since Peter cursed and swore that he knew not Jesus. And 2 months later, he's standing before a crowd of people declaring who Jesus really is. Man, I don't know about you, but that sure is encouraging to me when we just totally goof up and it's like, Lord, I know I don't deserve this, but God uses us anyway. That's tremendous truth, really, from that. Julian? Right. Right. It's interesting because the people that heard Jesus speak, their thing was he speaks with authority, right? He and of course he can because he wrote it. But now the Holy Spirit of God is illuminating them as they work through that. Excellent. Okay, chapter 3. Brother Steve? No, it's good. Yeah, so God can do wonderful things through really uneducated men and bring glory to himself and draw people to himself as well. This passage is... You know, the lame man is healed here, and of course, the preaching again turns the attention back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the thing I said about this chapter. Proper preachers turn the attention to Jesus Christ. They're not about building their own kingdom. They didn't say, well, thank you very much, I healed that guy. I'll put that on my next brochure. No, that wasn't what this was about. What do they do? Like, if you think this has anything to do with me, you're sadly mistaken because I can't do this. This is about Jesus Christ and turns that so excellent, Brother Steve. That's very, very good. Someone else? Yes. Yes.
And then the other thing is that they use helping someone as a launching board to the gospel, which I think is a great reminder to us sometimes when we pass over that concept of if I reach out to someone first, it can help me actually get to those more important.
Okay, excellent. So more people were saved in this text, this later on, and I happen to agree with that as well. I don't think it was an additional, I mean, I don't think it was 5,000 total. I think it was an additional 5,000. That's just my opinion as well. But yeah, the idea that they met a physical need, but used that to springboard to get to the deeper need of the gospel. And I think there's a two-edged sword here. There is sometimes we react to never wanting to meet this physical need. And that's kind of a reaction to the social gospel, okay? We're not ever going to meet anybody's social needs, if you will. No, Jesus sometimes fed people to get a chance to get the gospel, healing to get the gospel, so forth. The flip side of that is if all we do is feed them or dig a well in their village or do whatever and never share the living word, the word of the water that will always satisfy them, that's a problem as well. So excellent. Very, very good points there. All right. Anyone else? Chapter 3. Okay. Chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 4 here. This is an interesting chapter as well as we work through the book of Acts. We kind of get introduced to a new subject that's going to be a part of the book of Acts as we move forward. Anyone? Okay, Brother Steve again. Yes. Okay, that's it. You're going to face opposition if you preach the gospel. I said it this way, persecution draws attention to the gospel. Whenever the gospel comes in the process, it's going to draw persecution, but it's also going to draw attention to the gospel itself, which is exactly what happens here, because chapter 4 then, they actually go before the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and so forth and begin to minister that. And therefore, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Sunday morning in the second part of the message on war, and that is sometimes I'm guilty of this, but sometimes we're shocked when opposition comes. We shouldn't be. The Word of God is loaded with it. You know, we should expect opposition when we're doing right. So that's very good. Someone else? Chapter 4. Yes, Philip? Okay.
That's sometimes the most difficult thing, because when you're shocked, or even just because you're offended, or because you're trying to defend yourself, because it doesn't always come as, in my experience, it doesn't always come as straight up. You're being attacked because of the gospel, because we live in this modern society, and
Yeah, so they kept speaking the word in the midst of that difficulty. And sometimes it comes in little ways, but they kept speaking the word anyway. We used to, years ago when we would do retreats in the youth department, we would have them defend doctrines. And I would kind of play the antagonist and so forth. And inevitably, when I would say something like, I don't believe that, they'd stop quoting the Bible. And I would stop the discussion and say, they're like, well, they said they didn't believe the Bible. It doesn't matter if they say it believes or not. The Bible is the power of God, okay? So keep giving the word. Like, well, I don't believe the word. Doesn't matter. The word of God still reaches Christ. That's an excellent point. Yes, A. B. Okay, so if the world welcomes you without resistance, you're probably not challenging them in the process. I think it's interesting that the more the church looks like the world, the less impactful they're having on the world, frankly. By the way, some of their own people are writing this now. Some of these ministries that tried to be user-friendly and so forth, they're writing articles about their own ministry saying, this miserably failed. Because it does. God wants us to be radical difference, right? That's, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So, okay, Julian? Prayer. Yeah, so prayer allowed them to be bold in the gospel. And I think this is really important for us to recognize. This wasn't in and of itself individual prayer, though I'm sure they were. This was actually corporate prayer, that they were praying together as a church, which really I think is something that we need to do. By the way, you ever find that when you really pray with someone, you feel vulnerable? You're really opening up yourself to really what's taking place. And by the way, I think that's a good thing for us to do. Okay, Dale? Sure.
And it's right to pray for missionaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so prayer was more spontaneous, and you're right. It's not wrong to pray for health needs, but if that's all we're praying for, then we're falling short. So yeah, it was a spontaneous time where they prayed together. Excellent. Yeah, okay, that's a great point. We're too used to being saved. We're too used to knowing Christ, and therefore so much of this is, if you will, old hat to us in the process. So, Amy? Right. Okay, so they knew they had been with Jesus. It shouldn't, again, be drawn to ourselves. It should be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct. Yeah, we fight and argue to prove a point, and that's so, so true. I said today in one of my classes, we were talking about why people leave the faith. Why do they walk away? In this particular article that we were perusing with one of my classes today, one of the first things on the list was Christians behaving badly. And I said in the class, I'm like, you're probably not going to win someone to Christ if you call them an idiot. Right? Like, I mean, that's the best way to just say, now let me share Jesus with you after I just called. I'm like, we don't like that, right? It's like we don't like somebody to do that and then all of a sudden try to share something with us. It doesn't work. So, yeah, that's an excellent point. So, Gino? Yeah, so they're under legitimate persecution and under a legitimate attack, and they're just enjoying what God has asked them to do and serving with a joyful spirit. Wow, what a difference, right? Pastor, and then I'll come back to Joel. Yeah, so even though they were under threat, they didn't compromise the message. Excellent. You want me to call on you first? So. She said, just forget that he talked, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Which shows that they were a spiritual family that probably had tighter bonds than they did with their actual earthly family.
Okay.
That's a good example for us to,
Yeah. So they were meeting each other's needs, both physically and spiritually. And you bring up a great point. In some cases, they were probably closer to their spiritual family than their physical family. That was absolutely true, because many times when these people came to know Christ as their Savior, they were cut off from their family. It was a big deal. This was their family very much. So excellent. Okay, chapter 5. This is one of those chapters we could go tons of directions, right? Because it's quite the chapter. It's one of those big ones, too. It's got 42 verses. So, yes, Sarah? Okay, so God's not as concerned about your intentions as He is your heart, right? So in other words, was it wrong for Ananias and Sapphira to give money? Nope. Was it wrong for them to sell land and keep back part of it? Nope. It was what they tried to do with it, right? They tried to appear that they were something different. Yeah. And along those lines, I wrote down, purity is something that must be worked on continually. And God asks us to be pure. The truth is, that's something we have to constantly work at. We live in a world that's just impure in all kinds of ways. So, Patrick? Okay, so persecution and imprisonment opened other doors for the gospel. Yeah, they're ministering to people now that they probably would not have had a chance otherwise to minister to, but God is doing that. So, Amy? Yeah, and that ties to what Sarah said. So to not worry about what people are thinking per se, but to be concerned about what God is thinking. How does God view this? And how many of us struggle with wanting other people to look at us or think of us in a right way? I think probably the answer is all of us, right? Like at some point or another, it's like, yikes. You know, we're constantly trying to think, no, don't think about that in the process. So, Sarah? Okay, so doing the right thing, and someone will think I'm doing it for the wrong motive, but we still should do the right thing and let God worry about those other things. So, Julian? Right. Right. Exactly. So yeah, if they were trying to gain a better prominent position or whatever in the church, yeah, that's a great point, because there are none that are just those small things. So, Brother Wes? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the interaction with authority that's here. And again, I think it's interesting, though, in the book of Acts overall, though authorities clearly abuse their power at time. I mean, Felix and those guys left Peter bound for Paul bound for 2 years, knowing he was guilty of nothing, right? But even in that, the men of the book of Acts continuously interacted with other leadership in a positive way. And even when Paul didn't, Paul says, I wist not that he was God's high priest. So he immediately said, because God tells me to interact this way. I think it's a great interaction with them. But ultimately, we ought to obey God rather than man, if it actually comes down to it, this is what we're going to have to do. And those men prove that, if you will, over time. So, excellent. Okay, let's do one more chapter, chapter 6. Chapter 6. And this is a short chapter, okay? Lisa?
There were other godly men rather than just the leading person.
Okay. Yeah, so there were other godly men other than just the ones that were the leaders of the church. There were a whole handful of men who were godly men. Matter of fact, from this group of godly men is going to come the first martyr of the church. It wasn't a pastor per se. It was a deacon who was serving the Lord faithfully. So that's excellent. Other good godly men were serving there. What else from this text? Brother Steve? Okay. Yeah, they were taking care of those who couldn't take care of themselves, the widows particularly, in this aspect of it. So yeah, they took the time to do that. Yes, Gino? Yeah. Right. So Stephen spoke with wisdom, couldn't dispute that, so they just shut him up, which has happened over and over and over again at times in the world. When the logic is flawless, if you will, and the truth of the Word of God is there, but we don't like it, therefore we're just going to get rid of you. So Dale? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, so there are other people that can take other things away. Yes, exactly. People who had no ministry training were not necessarily in a full-time capacity. Yeah, it is. Yes, yeah, absolutely. That process that we're going to meet on Sunday. And it really is. In this text, it gives me my primary job description, doesn't it? What is that? Prayer and the ministry of the word, right? That those are two critical things. That doesn't mean a pastor can't do other things, but those two things are important. One of the college students today was asking me a question, and they said, what are things that you cannot delegate to someone else? And I said, well, let's go to Acts 6, prayer and the preaching of the word. Those are, I'm not saying no one else can't preach, but those are things that God gave me. Other people can administrate. Other people can do those things, which is what Dale is saying. And it's a powerful thought. Yes, ma'am.
It's also a neat chapter because it shows that we should, as a church, go and share the problems that are there that maybe the pastors need to don't see, but with the right attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, so bringing the problems to the pastors that they may not know of. I don't know how many times I've had people say, I'm sure you know this, but, and I'm like, actually, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was happening. I'll never forget one time, this years ago, I don't know if Pastor Surratt remembers this, but we had a lady that was coming to Emmanuel at the time and got really upset at both of us because nobody visited her in the hospital. And I don't remember if he asked her, I asked her, I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. Who did you tell you were in the hospital? I didn't tell anybody I was in the hospital. You're like, okay. One of my talents is not mind reading. I can just tell you that, okay? I don't think his is either, right, Pastor? But yeah, that's a great point, that in a right attitude, come and say, hey, I don't know if you know this is happening. You know, jokingly, people have said to me, have you ever watched our live stream? And I'm like, I'm kind of busy when live stream's happening, right? Like it's, but yeah, sometimes just someone saying, hey, this looks strange when they do this or whatever. I'm not criticizing the sound booth guys, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, but it's something that you don't typically think about in that. So that's an excellent point. This is a rich book, and it's applicable to our ministry today, though written some 2,000 years ago, right? And that's what I think it is. So now you have advance warning about next week. We're through chapter 6. Let's just walk through this a little bit. I think it's good. Here's, and I know we're late. We got to go, okay? But here's the thing. Sometimes we listen, we process, but we don't bring it down to where we really are using it every day. And that's what the Word of God is meant for us to use every day. That's why He preserved it for us in His Word. Father, thank You for the Word. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.